This is the Talking Asset Management with KPMG podcast. And today, Gregory Williams, National Asset Management Sector Leader with KPMG in the U.S., discusses post-COVID economic recovery expectations with America's leaders representing KPMG in Brazil, Canada, and Mexico.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for a periodic conversation we've been having around current developments in the environment affecting the asset management industry in the Americas. I'm Greg Williams. I'm KPMG's National Sector Leader for Asset Management for the Americas and the United States. And I'm pleased to be joined today by three of my partners and good friends that are the asset management leaders in their respective countries, James Lowen from Canada, Hermes Castanon from Mexico, and Lino Jr. from Brazil. Welcome, gentlemen, and looking forward to your comments. As we sit here in June, it's interesting as we continue to evolve out of the pandemic and out of the recession, how different things are around the world. As I sit here in Dallas, Texas, in an environment where, for the most part, we're completely open in Dallas, Texas. And you look at the United States, the rollout of the vaccine has went off to a great start. We've seen a dramatic decline in COVID cases. And so in most of the United States, you are in some phase of reopening and a lot of parts of the country fully reopened. So we're starting to see businesses open back up, rehire. We're still about 7.9 million jobs short of where we were pre-COVID, primarily in the restaurant hospitality businesses. But we're expecting as things continue to open, they'll continue to bring those jobs back and the recovery will continue on its path. You know, in our industry, though, disruption can be a good thing. And so as we think back, as I think back over the last 15 months on this time period, we're all going to look back on and reference a lot of points in my life to a pandemic, whether it's my daughter getting married in the middle of pandemic, having to defer the wedding two or three times. And there are just a lot of things I think we're going to refer back to the pandemic. You know, a lot of our businesses in asset management have done very well. Disruption can be good for certain parts of our business. And we've also seen a deal market in the U.S. that we didn't anticipate picking up until, you know, second or third quarter of 21, but late in 20, it started to pick up and, you know, deal market is on fire. So we've really started to see a pickup, and as well as the significant amount of capital is being raised. We're actually pretty optimistic about the economic future for our industry sitting where we are today. Obviously, the health crisis continues to linger and we continue to have people are hurting. But at least at this point in where we're at, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel and looking forward to that. So I might ask each of you, where do things stand in your respective countries as it relates to coming through, you know, the virus and the pandemic and the economic recovery? And so I'm just going to start with Hermes because he's sitting right here. I see him first. And so I'll start with Hermes and give us your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Greg. First of all, thank you for the invitation to be able to share this forum. And it's pretty much similar than US. The economy is reacting step by step. The vaccine progress in Mexico is moving forward. As of May 2021, we have reached around 20% of the population. So that means that the small businesses and some enterprises, restaurants, as you mentioned, they're already open to the public. However, corporates are still performing home office. They are not allowed to return full as of these dates. However, the economy start to show some recoveries. Actually, the GDP was already changed by the central bank, the expectation for the year 2021, and is expected to reach around 3.2 versus a negative GDP that we had on the year 2020, that it was minus 9. So we look forward to start to recovery for the following months in just to reaction of this vaccine progress that is moving forward.
I was saying that vaccine's been a lifesaver. The speed at which the world developed that vaccine has really accelerated you know, the recovery. And I wonder, I was thinking the other day, where would we be without that? It's just, you know, life would have been really dim right now if we'd had that vaccine. So as we continue to roll out, it's really created a, you know, an economic buzz in a lot of different areas. So, hey, Lino, what about in Brazil?
Yeah. Hi, Greg. Thank you. So in Brazil, so first we, you know, Brazil funds industry have a decrease in asset under management during the initial phase of the pandemic. But the industry has been proven to be very resilient. And now the assets under management is higher than we had before. Vaccination process in Brazil, it's not as a speed as we would like to. So we are now getting vaccinated people with 60 years old. And I think we still have a way to get all population vaccinated. But despite of all the political disputes in terms of the pandemic, I think the funding industry, it's been very good. And we are seeing a lot of M&A process going on in Brazil, and the industry proved very resilient.
Terrific. And James, what about Canada? How's the economic recovery there?
Yeah, I mean, we had a slow start, I would say, on vaccinations, but we really have caught up really well over the last 6 weeks or so. We're now, I think, on first doses, we're sitting above 60%, 65%, which is, you know, quite good. Obviously, a lot of people have to get second doses. But because of that, we're definitely seeing reopenings. I mean, in Toronto tonight actually is the first night that patios are open. And basically the first stage of kind of removal of some of the restrictions we've had in Toronto and some of the other major centers since basically November. So people are really looking forward to that. That is the sector that's been most impacted, although, you know, the Canadian GDP has held up pretty well. I mean, retail has been really challenged, like we've seen kind of everywhere else. And so, you know, for small restaurants and eventually for small retailers, it's going to be really good to get things going. And that's kind of the expectation over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's exciting, actually, to get things back. Last night in the United States, our Women's College Softball World Series is going on, and I actually went to a game last night. It was in a stadium that had 14,000 people, so it was sold out. So I haven't been in a stadium. It almost felt strange to be sitting with 14,000 people. It's been so long since I've been in that crowd. So it's pretty exciting and exhilarating to get back to that environment. Well, I appreciate those comments. There's a couple of things that have been happening that I've been reading in the press in each of your countries. I may go back to Hermes here, and, you know, the labor reform that was passed, I believe, back in May, that, you know, has a significant impact on our businesses as well as outsourcing those things. I might have you comment on that. What is that labor reform that was passed, and what impact is it having on the market?
As you may recall, 3 years ago, there was a change in the regime of the federal government in Mexico. Just a little before to jump to the labor reform, it is worth to mention that last Sunday, June the 6th, there were midterm elections in Mexico to elect representatives of Congress, as well as 15 governors of states and different majorities in most of the counties, including Mexico City. They have been described as the most important elections in Mexico's history. The results shown as of today are that the current government coalition will lose the qualified majority in the lower chamber, meaning that they will not be able to make changes to the federal constitution without the approval of the opposition, which was the opposition's first objective in these elections. In Mexico City, as a matter of fact, the opposition also won more than half of the counties, but in most of the states, the current government continues to dominate. The markets reacted favorably to the scenario that the current government will not be able to make changes to the constitution, and the exchange rate of the Mexican peso versus the dollar had minimal variations. Now, as you mentioned, last April, the lower chambers of the Mexican Congress approved to reform various labor law, social security law, and tax law provisions relating to the outsourcing of personnel. This means the outsourcing is defined as the practice of hiring an entity outside of the company to perform services of produce goods that traditionally are performed in-house by the company's own employees and staff. And the main changes of these of these laws, it was first prohibit the outsourcing of workers carrying out the core business of the companies, then permit certain outsourcing of specialized services, and specialized services are those that are not contracted by contracting parties, corporate purpose of or main activity, such as auditors, advisors, legal external legals, etc. Also, some of these changes clarifies the supplementary services and what would be considered specialized services, and would include those provided among companies of the same business group, which provide they are not part of the contracting party corporate purposes of main activity. For instance, some of these examples would be the risk management areas, finance, human resources, internal audits. So those are still specialized services permitted, but only within the companies of the same economic group. Also impose these changes imposes registration requirements on individuals or legal entities providing specialized services. They have to accomplish with certain registration before the labor authorities in Mexico. And the most important change also is that caps the employee statutory profit sharing to an amount equal to 90 days of the employee's salary or the average of the last 3 years, whichever represent workers' highest benefits. This was, among others, one of the practice of companies that used to outsourcing to not pay this statutory profit sharing to the employees. These laws provide a 90 days transition period. This means by August the 1st this year, for employers to migrate workers from companies operating under the outsourcing regime to another employer substitution, provided that the company receiving the workers recognizes their seniority, labor rights, and the risk of work completed. The violation of this provision of the new personal outsourcing regime are punishable by fines and loss, and the loss of tax rights, such as the right to deduct the consideration paid or to credit the value-added taxes related to such consideration. So all these changes have significant changes in the way companies are run and in the economy in general, including asset managers and real estate business. In addition to the administrative burden that will surely have an additional cost, they have financial effects that would affect in some way the profitability of companies and also the performance of the assets that are managed by some entities.
Yeah, so the magnitude of that, so I would imagine, because at least my familiarity with the businesses that my clients have purchased in Mexico, outsourcing is very, very common. So I assume that everybody's scrambling to, you know, redo those agreements and get the employees on board. Is it possible in 90 days, you think, to get all that done? I mean, it's a massive market. What's your thoughts?
Most of the companies are struggling to reach that deadline. However, they are already working with external legals and advisors in order to reconfine all the structure of these changes. So 90 days is a small period of time. I don't know if there will be an extension. However, at least most of our clients are already working on these changes. So, but certainly there will be some entities that it would be struggling to reach this deadline.
Yeah, KPMG had an America's Tax webcast that was hosted by, you know, some of our Mexican professionals and someone from Washington National Tax in the U.S. on June 4th. And you can see that on our KPMG website. I'd encourage you to go look at that. There's some very good information around tax structures and legal structures that will need to be dealt with that Hermes mentioned. It's always interesting to hear that it's not just the U.S. where divided Congress is sometimes well received. I kind of smiled when you talked about, well, the opposition that's going to keep the other side. It's kind of no different than the U.S. today. Sometimes I think it's a good thing we have divided conference. Otherwise, we end up going way far one way and then it changes way far the other way. So it's interesting. It's just been, I think, in last 15, 20 years, I've come to feel, you know, division is a good thing. You know, business is like certainty. And yes, Sometimes you can get more certainty when you have a divided Congress. I wish we could say it'll make them work together better, but that's not always the case. But anyway, well, thank you for that, Hermes.
My pleasure.
Leo, thinking about Brazil, BDRs, I've heard that term, BDRs. And what is a BDR and how are people looking at that as an investment vehicle?
Yeah. So first, what BDR means. So BDRs are Brazilian depositary receipts. So they are basically securities that are traded in the Brazilian market and that have as underlying assets securities traded overseas, such as stocks and ETFs. In the past, BDRs were only allowed to be invested for qualified investors. And here in Brazil, we define qualified investors with those with investments above 1 million Brazilian reais. So, and what was the change that, you know, our Brazilian SEC improved last year? So they improved the BDR's rule to allow retail investors to invest in BDRs. So every investor, they can invest up to 100% of their portfolio in BDRs, and right after they improved this BDR rule in September last year, the funds association in Brazil required a public hearing in Brazil for investment funds for either retail investors and qualified investors to invest up to 100% in BDRs as well. This is very important to the market because, you know, with the reduction of Brazilian-based interest rate to the lowest of 2% last year, and with the actual 3.5%, investors start to look to diversifying their portfolios. So, and this new rule is definitely a very important rule to investors diversifying their portfolios and in order to get more alpha.
And what's been the reaction of the market? I mean, have you seen a big uptick in the appetite of retail investors in the BDRs?
Yeah, definitely. You know, today we have in Brazil, after this rule, more than 600 BDRs linked to the offshore assets, and you know, we are seeing a crescent demand for that in the local market.
Terrific. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's something that the market, at least the retail market, has been looking for as an attractive way to, like you said, find yield, which is the name of the game everywhere in the world now. Where can we go find yield, which continues to be a challenge in the fixed income markets everywhere, which is why a lot of these alternative asset classes are getting more and more look, as you know, all around the globe. So appreciate the comments on that. James, what about Canada? What are you seeing in Canada these days?
I mean, the biggest thing happening right now is there's just a tremendous amount of capital markets activity, M&A activity, similar to what you're seeing in the U.S., whether that's IPOs or SPACs or what have you. And I mean, so far, it's really been led by kind of the fintech and the technology space generally. But it's right across the country. You know, there's kind of a hub of technology companies in Vancouver, a bunch of which have announced their intentions to go IPO. There's a lot that's happening in Montreal and Toronto as well. And, you know, obviously that's impacting the fund management business, especially, you know, for those where there's private equity interest in those companies. And we're seeing it both ways. We're seeing companies go private as well, but just a tremendous amount of deal activity and a few actually lately where it's actually been U.S. private equity managers that have taken significant stakes in Canadian technology companies. So that's definitely having a big impact on the market space here.
Yeah, I think very similar in the U.S. with the deal flow. And, you know, I think about the U.S. market and the magnitude of the recession that hit in the second quarter of last year. We completely shut business down. Well, I was having a discussion with my daughter this weekend about, you know, that is, you think about it, in my entire life, that's never happened, that all the businesses shut down. And so it's something that's never happened. But the other thing that's never happened is a massive amount of government stimulus that we had in the U.S. is unprecedented government stimulus. And hopefully we'll learn from that as we move forward. But, you know, similar to the thing that you're saying with the deal flow, we've got, you know, our administration has proposed some pretty significant tax increases that we'll see what happens. We don't have quite a divided Congress, but our Senate is split right down the middle, 50-50. And in the U.S. right now with, for most legislation, you know, you're going to need to get 60 votes in the Senate, but they have a way through reconciliation, a special rule that they can get some things passed. But, you know, our investors are, you know, really concerned about what will those changes be. I think that business, you know, I always say businesses just adapt to whatever the rules are, right? Tell me what the rules are. I'll go invest and then I'll make my yields off of that. What they don't have comfort with is uncertainty. And right now we've got a little bit of uncertainty of what is that tax legislation going to look like. We've also got an infrastructure bill that they're talking about with up to $2 trillion of infrastructure spending in the U.S., which would be a big uptick in the market. So I think all around, similar to James in Canada, things are looking up and we anticipate, you know, the rest of this year to continue to be strong. I think KPMG's chief economist, Constance Hunter, is predicting, you know, GDP in the U.S. this year north of or close to 6%, which is really, really strong. And that continuing into to 2022. So hopefully this virus will continue its go away and we never have to hear the COVID word again, and the economy continues to expand. Well, I think we're going to wrap up this short conversation here. I think this has been really enlightening for me. I know I got a lot out of it about what's happening outside of my little world here in the United States and Dallas, Texas. I appreciate each of you. And I look forward to all of you that are listening in to join us in the future, because we plan to continue to do this on a periodic basis to share what's happening in the Americas. In the meantime, please don't hesitate to reach out to any of these gentlemen or to me, and we'd be happy to help you think through your challenges or help you navigate these choppy regulatory environments that we've been talking about as we move forward. Thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Talking Asset Management with KPMG. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast to be notified of new episodes.